Good morning. So how are you all doing? Did you have a good week? I love this time of year, don't you? Kind of gets your juices flowing, doesn't it? I took Zeta skating yesterday. She's getting into this skating thing, so it's kind of exciting. She turned 5 last week, and so she thinks she's all that now. So she's really enjoying this deal with skating. I got her some roller skates, and last week at her birthday, we had a lot of relatives were there and a lot of people, and my son's friends and my daughter-in-law's friends, and she says to my son's best friend, his name's Scott, she goes, "Come on, Scott, I want to," she had a video camera of my daughter-in-law's, and it's real easy to operate, so they let her take videos because it's real easy. So she says, "Come on, Scott, I want to film you while you dance. Come on out here in the middle of everybody and dance." And he goes, "Oh, man," she says, "Come on." So he came out there and he started dancing. She's taking video and laughing, and she's enjoying taking this video, you know. And so when he's done, she says, "Papa, I want you to dance." I said, "Oh, I can't dance, Zeta." And she says, "Come on, Papa, I'll do it." You know, she's all excited. "You know, I want to put you on film." I said, "All right." I took a deep breath. I walked up, and all these people, you know, I just can't stand to be in front of people. But but I thought, now what am I going to do? And she goes, "Come on, Papa, dance." And I go, "All right. Go, Zeta. Go, Zeta. It's your birthday. It's your birthday." She goes, "That's enough, Papa." And she puts the camera down, and she was done. Oh, I tell you what, you had to be there. Oh, she just didn't like, she didn't want to go there. I was putting it on too much, I think, you know. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I just believe in having fun. You know, you got to have fun, right? Got to enjoy life, right? If there's no joy in it, something's wrong, right? I mean, we got a lot to be thankful for, right? So if we got to do a little dance once in a while, we can do it, can't we? All right. What have we been talking about? Stewardship. Stewardship, what's that mean? That means the management and managing of another's affairs and finances. So that was the key. We've been talking about keys. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Remember, bind means to lock, loose means to open. So these principles, these keys, open doors that no man can close, and they close doors that no man can open. When you operate in these kingdom principles, it helps you to advance the kingdom in your life as well as in others' lives. And so that's why we got to grow in our understanding of these principles. So this idea of stewardship is what we've been on. And remember, we talked about, because stewardship is handling our money. And money is a big problem. That's why our economy is in the shape it's in. That's why the church is one of the biggest needs in the church is people need money. And so the idea is we need to get some understanding on how to handle our money. And when we do, things are going to change. Because God wants you to have enough. He wants you to have more than enough. And if we understand the principles and how to handle it, folks, we're going to be taken care of, right? No matter what the economy is doing out there, we're in the kingdom, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? And all these things will be added to your clothing. Everything you need is going to be added to you if you put that first in your life. So that's why we got to grow in these principles. And we talked about, last week we talked about, In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about if you labor to be rich, then you end up in lust and perdition. And so the idea is the motive of why you're doing what you're doing, and he says you end up in lusts. And there, we gave this idea. And then in the next verse it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So the idea is lust versus love. Lust always takes. Love always gives. Lust gets bored. Remember? We talked about how people will see believers prospering. And from the outside, they'll see that and they'll think, well, I'm going to try that. So they come in, they come to Christ and they start giving, and it just doesn't start working out the way they thought it should. And so they get bored and they quit. That's lust. Because lust gets bored, lust takes. Lust, the idea is selfish, right? It's for self. Lust has self on its mind. Love gives. Love lasts forever. You see, that's the idea. God wants us to give out of our love relationship with Him. Because He's always looking at our heart. He's looking at your heart's motive. And that's the idea. He wants you to give. That's just like in a marriage. A marriage that gets married out of lust, it's going to get bored. It's not going to last. I've seen it in this church. People get married out of lust. And it don't last. The idea is when they get married out of love, it's going to last. When two people love each other and it's the love of God, it's going to be for eternity. Am I making sense? And that's what God wants you to do in your giving in every area of your life. He wants it to come out of your relationship with Him. It's like if you love Him, all mine is yours, right? All I have is yours, Lord. And that's that love relationship. That's the idea. So that's what we give out of. And that's why we don't have any problem giving the tithe. Because we love Him and we know that's what He requires in the kingdom, and it's a principle. Amen? So, and remember we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about the foundation of Christ, and it's talking about the judgment day, the judgment seat of Christ, when in the day of the Lord, capital D, it says that your works are going to be either out of gold, silver, and fine jewels, or they're going to be wood, hay, and stubble or straw. The wood, hay, and straw burns up. The precious stones and the gold doesn't burn up because it gets through the fire. In other words, it had the right motives. That's what's going on in the judgment seat of Christ. What you did for the Lord and how you lived for the Lord, the motives that were behind it. You see that? The stimulus that was behind it is what's being tested there in that fire. Check me out, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's important to understand that. That's why he says, though I give my body to be burned and give everything I have to the poor, to feed the poor, but if I don't have love, it profits me zero, nothing. We making sense? All right. Today we're going to turn and we're going to go in another direction. We're going to get into the season. It's Palm Sunday, right? And remember when the children were waving the palms and Jesus was coming, and it says that the religious people were indignant. They got upset because the children were praising God, praising Jesus, because Jesus was Lord. And they knew it. And it upset them that they were calling Jesus Lord. You know what? You hear what I'm saying? And so the religious folks got upset, didn't they? So that's what happens when you truly praise God and you do it from a pure heart. Religious folks get upset. You know that? So that's all right, though, isn't it? So we are going to look at, it's Passover season right now. And so Passover was when they put the blood over the doors in Exodus. And the death angel, when it came over, it couldn't destroy the people in the house because it had the blood over the doorpost. Well, because the Passover lamb was, the blood of the lamb was smeared over the door. Jesus on the cross is the Passover lamb. The blood of Jesus is on our heart when we accept Him and make Him the Lord of our life. The death angel can't destroy us. Right? That's the season we're in right now. And we're going to talk about redemption. Everybody say redemption. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious what? Blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you, Father, for everyone here. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people. Now, Father, we ask that you give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of this idea of redemption. And Lord, just teach us and lead us and guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You said that the Holy Spirit would teach us the truth. So Lord, help us to understand the truth today. You said, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Well, Father, we don't want to be in that group. We want to grow in our knowledge of who you are, and we want to grow and become all that you've created us to be. Lord, let that happen today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, you have been redeemed. The word redeemed means to purchase a slave in view of its freedom. To purchase a slave in view of its freedom. So, you've been redeemed by the blood. That's what the cross is all about. See, what God deemed back in the garden, Adam and Eve, what he deemed, what he thought was important, okay, he has to redeem it because he lost it, right? Because of the sin that they did, he lost it. So he has to redeem it. That's what he's done with us. He's redeemed us. He's got us back into his plan now. Now, through the cross, okay? So now, we've been redeemed. Redemption, when you understand redemption, it just changes your walk. It changes your life. When I got this and I began to really understand this, it just really helped me. That's why I really feel strongly to bring this to the body, is because of the understanding and how it helps me. And I know it's going to help you. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's back there before Timothy. And after Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, you always hear me say we're made up of three parts, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And I always say, you know, we need to keep salubrious activity, exercising, because our body will atrophy, will set in if we don't do something, right? So I want to make sure that we stay strong so we can, you know, fulfill the will of God. And that's the idea. I want to keep myself healthy as I can so I can keep doing the will of God and fulfilling his plan and purpose in my life. Now, look what it says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, it brings out the distinction there. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're made up of three parts, right? Now, here it is up here on the screen. Body, soul, spirit. Look, Satan works from the outside in. Okay? Yes. A teaching on atrophy. Oh, no, not atrophy. It would be anthropology, right? Not atrophy. We don't want atrophy, right? We don't want to waste away. Right, John? Body, soul, spirit. When you were born again in your spirit, right here, the innermost part of your being, you, at that moment, you received everything that God has, everything that He's going to do for you in your life, in that spirit, born again spirit. Now, see, we got to understand this. So what we're to do is, God works from the inside out. The idea is we have to live out of our spirit and get it into our soul and out here in the physical realm and then out here into manifestation. You see that? That's the way it is. Look here. You are holy and you are righteous. You are holy and you are righteous in your spirit. You can't get any more holy and you can't get any more righteous. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be any more holy and any more righteous than you already are right there. You see this? That's why we got to understand this. You are holy in your spirit and you are righteous. When you understand that, that changes things. That changes the way you walk. That changes your faith. Because, folks, a lot of people, they don't understand this, and it creates doubt and fear and unbelief. But when you understand this, this affects your faith. Because everything we have is already done in the Spirit. You are righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Nothing, no sin, nothing can penetrate that right there. No sin can take that away. Nothing can take that away. Well, you're saying once saved, always saved? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can't lose your salvation, but you can reject it out of a mature walk. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 6. You can reject it and denounce Christ and lose it that way. But you don't lose it, you're rejecting it. Here's the idea. You can't lose it. Once you're saved and you've really been born again in your spirit, the you, the Holy Spirit is joined with you forever. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are one with Christ. Your spirit is one with Christ. As He is, so are you in this world. You are just like Jesus in the spirit. What? That's the way it is. That's how it is. You are righteous. Isn't that important to understand? In Psalms 92, it says this. It says, the righteous are like a palm tree. It says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. It says, they shall be like cedars of Lebanon. It says, as they will grow old and they will flourish in the house of the Lord and in the courts of our God. Now watch this. He says the righteous are like a palm tree. Why does He say a palm tree? A palm tree is a type and a shadow of what righteousness is and who you are as being righteous. Well, what's a shadow? Here's a shadow. There's a shadow up here. My body is making a shadow. Okay? If you were to come up here, you would see a shadow. Now, it doesn't reveal the color of my glasses. The shadow doesn't reveal the color of my shirt. It doesn't reveal the color of my eyes. The shadow only can reveal that I'm moving, and that's about it. It doesn't reveal the details. The details have to be revealed. Are you listening to me? So He says the palm tree is, the righteous are like a palm tree. So that's a type and a shadow. So what's a palm tree like? A palm tree is, if you look at a palm tree, you can take a palm tree and cut it in half while it's in the ground, and you can't kill it. You can cut it, beat it, chop on it. It will keep growing. You can't kill it. The roots on a palm tree are longer than the tree itself. They go down deeper. They're longer than the tree itself. So no matter how you cut on a palm tree, you can't kill it. He says the righteous are like a palm tree. Anybody feel like they've been cut on? Maybe you've got cut on your job. Maybe somebody's cutting on your character. Maybe somebody's cut. You know what? He says the righteous are like a palm tree. They're going to keep growing. They're going to keep growing. Nothing's going to stop it from growing. You see that? And in a storm, you ever see on CNN when they have the hurricanes and the palm trees? They bend way down and then they bounce right back up. They bend way down and then they bounce right back up. That's the way the righteous are. When you're planted in the house of the Lord, that's the way you are. You're discovering who you are in your righteousness. And you're going to grow and you're going to produce fruit. Fruit is out here in the physical realm. It's manifesting. You see, that's what God, Jesus said, I would that you would bear much fruit. But you got people who have been in church for years, not bearing anything but rotten fruit. Am I making sense? But the righteous are flourishing. It says they'll flourish and they'll be fresh in their old age. Fresh. You're going to be glad they showed up. Not, well, my back hurts, and, oh, this hurts and that hurts. No, they're going to be fresh. You see that when you understand the righteous, it takes away stuff. It empowers you. Am I making sense? And that's what you are. You are righteous. The real you. And that's why you got to grow in it and you got to understand it. He says you'll be like the cedars of Lebanon. Psalms 92, check me out, verse 12 and 13. The cedars of Lebanon, David handpicked the cedars of Lebanon for Solomon to build the temple. To build the temple. You are the righteousness. You are the temple. As we come together, we are the temple of the living God. That's why you sense something in here. That's why when you come in here, you feel different when you leave. Stuff comes off because you're growing in your righteousness. Am I making sense? He says you'll be like the cedars of Lebanon. What's a cedar? They grow straight and tall in the courts of our God. And in the courts of our God. Remember in The Great Debaters, anybody see that movie? I remember one of the lines was, they said, who's the judge? God is the judge. Why? Because God is the one who determines who wins or loses. Not my opponent. You see, that's the way it is in the courts of God. In the courts of God, God is the judge. He's the one who's judging. He's the one who's going to let you know who's winning or losing. And he will let you know that you're winning. Are you with me? When you understand that you're the righteous. Am I making sense? You're righteous. Everybody say it. I'm righteous. We're going to get rid of this condemnation and this view of ourselves that we can't do this and, oh, we're sinning. Sin has already been dealt with. It's already been dealt with. Though we have a propitiation for our sins in 1 John 2. And it says not only for us, but for the whole world. The whole world, even people who are not believers, their sins have been forgiven. They just need to believe in Jesus. They need to put their faith in Jesus. Come on now. Do you see this? The sin issue's done. It's dealt with. The blood of Jesus. You know what? When you always say, oh, I sinned yesterday. And you know what you're saying? You're saying you're diminishing the blood atonement. When you always bring that up, what you did, it's not about your performance. God can't see you when you're doing something wrong. You know what he sees? He sees you're righteous. He can't look on something that's not holy. God can't even look at that. He only sees you as holy and righteous. Because he sees you in the Spirit. Because he's a Spirit. God is a Spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you getting this? Folks, listen. When we understand this, this changes your walk. Now look, your soul, when you're born again, that's not soul salvation. When you're born again, okay, if you're born again and then you died, then you would go to you'd be saved. But here it is. Soul salvation is ongoing. It's ongoing. That's why it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those of us who are being saved, process, it is the power of God. Soul salvation is ongoing. We making sense? It's ongoing. And that's where your mind, your will, and your emotions are. And so what the idea is, we want to get those lined up with our spirit. And when that happens, man, we got something. You see this? But too many of us live by what we smell, touch, taste, and sight, and hear. And that's where we get off. Go with me real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's talking about your spirit. You see, when you were born again and you stood up, you still looked in the mirror and you were the same, right? If you were depressed when you got born again, you're going to end up staying depressed. Unless you do something with your soul. You see this? You have to do something with your soul. You got to get your soul renewed to the Word of God. Now, think about this. He says you're a new creation. That means species of a spirit. You are a new species. Everything's new in the spirit. Everything. Everything you that God has for you, He's not going to do anymore. Everything He has for you is done in the spirit. And you are new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, a lot of people come to Christ and they say, well, everything's not new. And they begin to question, did I really get saved? Am I really saved? You are. Because all they're looking at is the physical. And that's why we can't just look at the physical. If you just look at the physical, then you'll never come to a knowledge of who you are, and understand the things of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said in John 3, He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, flesh can't produce spirit, and spirit can't produce flesh. So when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. Because you were separated, it says Psalms 51, verse 5 and 6, you were brought forth in iniquity, and from your mother's womb you were conceived in sin. You're born in this world of sin, and that separates you from God. So when you're born again, you're born out of that sin, and now you're born into the family of God. You see that? And so now we have to understand the things of the Spirit. Now listen to me. Go with me to James chapter 1. See, we're studying our Bible today. So I really want you to understand this. James chapter 1. In verse 23. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, I'm sorry. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see? The Bible, God's Word, is a mirror of your spirit. When you look, this is the only place you can see and find out and understand what your spirit is and what your spirit looks like. Nowhere else. Just like a mirror, you look in the mirror and you see, I go, you know, you'll see me running in the bathroom. I'm checking my stuff out. I don't want something hanging when I come out here because a lot of you won't tell me. So, but you see, you begin to trust the what you see in the mirror. You trust that, hey, you trust in that the physical mirror for your physical appearance. You know what? You've never really looked into your face. All you've seen was a reflection of who you are. You've never really looked into your own face. You're only seeing a reflection. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. The Bible is a reflection of your spirit down in you. And when you look into it, and you continue to look into it, you discover who you are. It reveals who you are. And it reveals what you have. It shows you that. If you don't look into it, you're always going to live by the physical. You see that? And you're gonna see, smell, hear, touch, feel. Folks, that's what the Bible calls carnality, the physical realm, right? Am I making sense? We can only discover the things by the Spirit by looking into the mirror of the Word of God. Now, that's why it says in Romans 8, don't be carnally minded, for the carnal mind does what? Brings forth death. What's death? Death is separation. Death means separation. So if we just look at physical, carnal, if we just look, that brings death. Death would be bitterness, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. You see that? Resentment. That's what carnality produces, death, things that separate you from God. But it says, but the spiritual mind brings life and peace. What? Life and peace. In that spirit, innermost being of you, in 1 Corinthians 2:17 and 16, it says, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And so that's why we have to draw that out of us. We draw that out of us by going to the mirror. We're getting it. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are life and they're spirit. When you look into the word, now you're getting a reflection of who you really are. And now I'm going to begin to think that way of how I really am. You see that? I heard a testimony about a gal over in China that was being tortured. She was being tortured, and they burned her body. And they taped her eyelids open because she said, you can't take away what I see in my spirit. And they literally taped her eyelids open and burned her body. But as she died, she was smiling because she kept her focus on who she was in the spirit. Am I making sense? That's the same way it is, folks. She understood who she was in the spirit realm. The real her. The redeemed spirit. That's eternal. Forever. Nothing can change that. That's why we need to live out of that. Live out of that spirit. Am I making sense today? So, if we just go by the carnal mind, we're just living by the physical. But the spiritual mind brings life and peace. And he says, When we're thinking negative, we've moved away from our source. Anytime we're driving in the car and we're thinking negative, or we wake up and all these negative thoughts come, that's where you have to on purpose say, nuh-uh, I'm living, what's it say in my spirit? I've looked in the mirror, I understand what I am, who I am and what I look like. I'm going to say what that says, not what I'm seeing, hearing, smelling, touching. Right? Because negativity, you've moved away from the source. That's why he says, whatsoever things are true, just, noble, lovely, pure, and of a good report, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And what? And the God of peace will be with you. You see that? When I'm thinking on who I am in the spirit, and I have enough, then that's what it's going to produce, peace. You see, a lot of people are sacrificing peace because they're over here in this realm out here. They're just looking there too much. And it affects their soul, and their spirit has everything. You can have, you got all the fruit of the spirit is in here. Faith, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, that's all in there. Now, you can be angry, miserable, you can be angry, depressed, no joy, no impatient, all that out here because you haven't connected with what's in here. But as you renew your mind, this area out here, to the Word of God, then now it's going to start. It's going to come out into the soul, and then it's going to manifest in fruit out in the physical realm. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth this morning. Are you understanding this? Folks, this is the way it is. And when we understand this, I'm telling you, this changes your world. Go with me to Romans 12 real quick. It says in James 2:26, go to Romans 12, but I'm just quoting, the Holy Spirit gave me this. In James 2:26, it says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, you see, life comes from the spirit. See, when the spirit is not there, the body's dead. So when if we live out of the spirit, it produces life. You see that? Come on, do you see that? Life comes from the spirit. And that word life he's talking about is the Zoe life, the God kind of life. The fulfilled life, the life that God created you for, the redeemed life, the life that he called and created you for. And that comes as we live out of spirit. That's why he says, eye has not seen, nor his ears heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. What? But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. See? Okay. Now, where did I tell you to go? Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now think about this. He says, your body's a living sacrifice. You ought to offer that up. Sometimes it's painful to be a Christian, isn't it? Isn't it? That's why when, you know, sometimes you see, you're seeing negativity out here and you don't feel good and, you know, you're going by how you just keep thinking about who you are in the Spirit and speaking that out, right? Because the Word of God has the power to cause you to rise up. You see, if you're just thinking about out there, your feelings and your emotions will cause you to be depressed. And cause you to get down and feel lonely and discouraged, right? But God has given us his word. He says, just as God has spoken to us in the last days through the prophets of old, he has spoken to us in these days through his son Jesus, whom he has appointed heir over all things, and through whom he also created the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholds all things by the word of his power. He will uphold you. When you meditate in his word, he's going to hold you up no matter what kind of storm you're in. Are you with me? He'll uphold you so you can stand against all the wiles of the devil. Come on now, am I making sense? And that's what happens when... Well, now I'm preaching now. Y'all looking like, oh, he's saying something. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Folks, this is the Christian life. This is what we're called to. Right? We're bringing heaven to earth. It's not no picnic and, you know what I'm saying? It's okay to go on a picnic. But folks, listen. It's going to be tough times at times. It's not going to feel good out here sometimes. So it feels like you're going to be going through hell, but God will be in it. Right? You still love me? All right, where were we at? I got sidetracked there. Okay. Verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world. The word conformed means poured into the mold of. So don't be poured into the mold of the world. Don't be poor, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in your soul. Through the Word of God. See that word iniquity? That's in your soul. We're going to talk about that next week. Those are patterns that keep you in sin. Those are patterns that keep you in reoccurring destructive behaviors. And we all have those. We're going to show you how to get out of that. You see this? Well, that's what happens. That's what happens when you line your spirit up with your soul and you get the Word of God on it. Remember it says in James, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So double-minded would be if I'm carnally minded, thinking about all the physical, and then I have the mind of Christ in here, I need to think more out of the mind of Christ in here than the physical out here. See, that's double-minded. See, and that makes you unstable in all your ways. When I'm thinking about out of my spirit, I'm the mind of Christ, and I got the Word of God helping me to think, now I'm stable. I'm one. I'm single-minded. I'm not double-minded. Doesn't that make sense? I know we're out of time, but I just want you to understand this. Isn't this important? All right. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that word transformed? It means metamorphosis. It's a cocoon to a butterfly. A cocoon to a butterfly. From something ugly, not going anywhere, to something beautiful, going somewhere. You know, someone in our first service said they got a vision of those kids in India that we're supporting, that they're going to get this word, and they're going to be changed from something that wasn't going anywhere to something that's going somewhere and that is beautiful. Of those children growing up and understanding God's word. And I'll tell you what, when they were sharing that, they wrote it down. It touched me. So here's the idea. Are you getting this? Huh? Isn't this important to understand? You know what? We're going to take communion today. And we're out of time. And I know I've kept you here a little while, but you know what? It's all right. We need to understand this, don't we? Okay. Everybody say, I've been redeemed. I'm righteous. Nothing can change that. All right. Those who are helping me with communion, could you come forward?